The Bible has so much to say about the heart. It is our seat of emotions. We say to one another, I love you with all my heart. And yet, you know that the heart is just an organ. But when we say a phrase like that, and when God says to love the Lord with all of your heart, you know what He's talking about, with every fiber of your being. And so this morning I come to the last message in the series that I've been preaching on the heart. And this, my friend, is, I don't know if I saved the best for last, because this is the broken heart. And so in Psalm chapter number 34, would you stand please with me? We'll read one verse of Scripture and then I'll pray and let you be seated again. And I would ask you today that you would help me as I preach, that you'd ask the Lord to help me and to say everything I need to say, and guard these lips so that I don't say anything of vainglory. But the psalmist said, David said, "The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such be as a contrite spirit." The Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just don't know how to pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have graced us with your presence. I thank you, God, for the beginning of the Sunday school hour. Lord, how that you led Brother Keith just to say the things he said for the scripture that was read about prayer. And we thank you how that you have shown yourself strong. And we have seen prayers, multitude of prayers that have been answered in over this last year. Lord, help us never to get too proud to bend the knee, too proud to bow the head, too proud to recognize that it is because of you, all of you, that anything ever happens. So I pray this morning, Lord, it's not my oratorical ability, it's not my delivery, it's not, Lord, my personality, but it's without the Spirit of God. We might as well close our Bibles and go home right now. But I pray that, Heavenly Father, you'd come in mighty power, and Lord, that you'd just work on every heart that's here this morning, including from the pulpit all the way to the back pew. And Lord, may we be able to say when we leave that truly God has met with His people. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning, my friend. The Bible said the Lord is nigh to them that are broken heart. February, we've been preaching about the heart. The first Sunday in February, I preached a message to you on the cure for a troubled heart. In John chapter number 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I preached the second Sunday morning on how does your heart measure up. About the whole heart. The Bible said that we ought to love the Lord with all of our heart. I preached last Sunday morning about the evil heart, and how that in the book of Genesis, He tells us that in the last days that the land would be filled with violence, and every imagination of man's heart was evil continually. Today I want to conclude the heart month by preaching on the broken heart. I'm sure everybody in here has had at one time or another a broken heart. Maybe it was broken because of a relationship. When a loved one tells you that they don't love you anymore, or when a child that you've invested your life in from their upbringing breaks your heart. There are other reasons that you may have a broken heart sometime, because of a partner cheated on you. Parents that are a spouse that don't get along, and hurtful words that are said may break your heart. It could be because of divorce or because of death that you have a broken heart. There are many reasons for a broken heart, but in the Bible there is a story found where God has a broken heart. I don't know of anything that a child of God would want to do that would cause God's heart to be broken. But you find in the book of Hosea this morning, if you'll be turning over there, please, you find the story of a broken heart. In fact, you find two broken hearts in the book of Hosea. You find a preacher with a broken heart, and then you find the Lord with a broken heart. In the book of Hosea, for those of you that may not be familiar with this book, you find that there are 14 chapters in the book of Hosea. Hosea didn't have much to shout about when he wrote the book of Hosea. There wasn't much rejoicing until you come down to the end of the book. God gave Hosea something to shout about when he came down to the end of the book. In the book of Hosea, there are two brides that are mentioned. One bride is the bride of Hosea. Her name is Gomer. There's also the bride, the nation of Israel, the bride of the Lord. You find there that about Hosea, that Gomer, his wife, that she got tired of being a preacher's wife, and she turned and went back into the ways of the old life. And here the Bible said that it broke his heart when she turned and went back into prostitution, went back into the ways of sin. It broke the heart of Hosea. But then you find the nation of Israel. You find that she was the chosen one of God, and yet she went back on the Lord, began to worship other idols and other gods. After all what God had done for Israel, it broke his heart when Israel turned their back on him. Now, beloved, in the book of Hosea, you find a man here who loved a wife with a never-ending love, regardless of what she had done, regardless how far she had gone into sin, regardless of how much disgrace she had brought to his home and to his family, he still loved her. May I say to you this morning that we have a Lord that loves us regardless of where we're at and what we have done. Can I tell you this morning, my friend, you may be sitting here, your life is out of kilter with God. You may have cheated on the Lord. You may have gone back into sin. You may have committed all kind of wickedness. May I tell you that God still loves you regardless of what you have done. Thank God today He'll never ever stop loving you. No matter how far you may get in sin, no matter how much you break the heart of God, no matter how far you get away from church, God still loves you. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad that I serve a God today that His love is not contingent upon if I love Him. For when I was a sinner, when I was lost and undone without God, I didn't love the Lord, neither did you. But the Bible said that He loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. No matter what you've done, my friend, may I tell you this morning, God still loves you. Now in the book of Hosea, I want to give you five things this morning. As we look at Hosea's life, there are five things that puzzled Hosea. There's five things that he didn't understand when he wrote the book of Hosea. All of these start with the letter S. And I want you, if you could, write them down. I believe they'd be a help to you. First of all, number one, he was puzzled about the sorrows of backsliding. When you read the book of Hosea, he wrote more about backsliding than he did anything else in the entire book. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, "For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer." In chapter number 8, verse 14, "For Israel hath forgotten his maker." In chapter 14 and verse 4, it says, "I will heal their backsliding." Now, beloved, God would heal their backsliding. But may I tell you this morning, you don't have to go there. You don't have to go down into the pit. You don't have to go down into the muck and mire. Thank God. I'm glad that there's still a group of folks that love God and want to serve God with their whole heart. Hey, listen, the world has no attraction for the child of God. Egypt's behind me. Heaven is in front of me. And thank God, everything that God has ever given to me is good and decent and holy and right. Listen, there's nothing that would cause me to want to go back into the old ways of life. Now, God said, "I'll heal thee of their backsliding." But you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. The most miserable person in the entire world is a man or a woman whose heart is not right with God. They're not happy in church. They're not happy outside of church. They're miserable during the week. They're miserable if they stay home. They're miserable if they come to the house of God. You know why? Because their heart's not right with God. Mister, may I tell you this morning, if God has been so good to you, and if God has blessed you so good, why would anybody ever want to backslide on God? Why would anybody ever want to break the heart of God? God's been good to us. Amen. My friend, listen, God's been good to this country. God's blessed this country. God has shown His grace on America. I don't understand why this country would want to turn its back on God. But friend, the truth is that many today have backslid on the Lord, turned their back on God, walked away from Him. Oh, listen, and the backslider, he said, will be filled with his own ways. Beloved, you don't have to go back to Egypt. You don't have to go back. I've come too far to look back. As the songwriter said, he said that I've climbed through the valleys, I've climbed the mountains, I've crossed the rivers, desert places I've known, but thank God I'm nearing the home shore. I'm in the last journey. I'm in the last mile. We're headed for heaven. Why would we want to go back to the ways of the world? Redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. Sometimes I can almost hear them. Can't you? Amen. I don't know how much longer I got down here, but I want to make every minute count for God. There's nothing behind me worth going back to. The allurements of the world, the things of this world. My friend, may I tell you today, don't go back. Keep your eyes on the prize and thank God a little bit longer we'll be home. Israel's love for the Lord began to fade. Gomer's love for Hosea began to fade. I don't have time to preach it all, but in chapter number 1, you'll find there were 3 children born into the family of Hosea and Gomer. My friend, I don't know what happened, but their love, Gomer's love, began to fade for her husband. He was a preacher, he was a prophet. Maybe she didn't like the way things were going. Maybe she didn't like the hours he kept. I don't know, but Gomer, she began to look back into the ways of the world, and all of a sudden the allurements of sin began to entice her. By the way, if you'll read chapter 1, Gomer was a harlot. She was a prostitute. And God had spoken to Hosea and said, go down and find this woman that is wretched and vile and filthy, and I want you to bring her out of her prostitution, and I want you to clean her up, and I want you to put her in a home, and I want you to marry her. That's what God did for us. My friend, listen, you may not have been a drunkard, you may not have been an adulterer, you may not have been a prostitute, but listen, we were all wretched and vile and miserable and poor and naked when God found us. Amen. I'm glad that He come down into the slave market. I'm glad He reached down further than I could ever reach up. He found me where I was. He brought me out. He cleaned me up. He has suited me up. And thank God one day He'll take me up. But Gomer, I believe she's probably sitting at home. And I don't know, maybe, I don't know, but maybe the wheels began to turn in her mind. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe somebody would come by and say, hey, you know, they're throwing a party down yonder in the town this Friday night. How about you coming down? And she began to think about her old ways of life. They'd say, hey, Gomer, you remember when we used to run around and hang out together? Yeah. And all of a sudden the wheels began to turn. And the devil, listen to me. The devil is a stinking liar. But he'll perch on your shoulder and he'll tell you a lie, and he'll say, you never had it any better. You had it better when you was lost. You had it better. You could go out and drink and run around and not have any problems. Hey, I got news for you. The devil is a liar, my friend. And Gomer, she began to listen to him. And all of a sudden, I don't know, but I think perhaps one day Hosea come back home, and maybe he walked in the door and he'd say, honey, I'm home. And them 3 little children there, and they'd say, daddy, mommy left. She's not here. Where'd she go? I don't know. But she's not here, daddy. She's been gone all day long. And Hosea, I believe, I don't know, maybe he went to the neighbors and said, have you seen Gomer? She left the kids at home. Have you seen my wife? And all of a sudden, the reports would get back to his ears. Yes, she's down yonder on the dark side of town. She's down yonder in the red light district. She's gone back into prostitution. No! No! And I believe it broke his heart. He'd sit down and weep. And he said, oh, Gomer, I loved you with all my heart. Why would you break my heart?
My friend, can I tell you something? As much as God has done for you and me, how could we ever turn our back on Him that loved us with an unending love? He's given you everything you own. He's given you the car you drive, the home you live in, the money in your pocket. Listen, the health you enjoy. God has been good to us. How could we ever turn our back on Him? But some people do, and Hosea was puzzled. He was puzzled over the sorrows of backsliding. When I was at Tennessee Temple, and it was Tennessee Temple College in that day, it became Tennessee Temple University, but there was a building set aside, and I didn't know the story, but there was a building set aside, the music building, and it was called the Weigel Building. And there was a big picture of an aged preacher. He was dead when the time I got there, but Dr. Charles Weigel, great man of God, they tell me. I've listened to him. You can go, it's amazing what electronic media can do. But I listened yesterday on YouTube. Somebody had recorded Dr. Weigel's testimony. But Dr. Weigel was an evangelist. He was a preacher. And one day he come back home. His wife had left him a note and said, "I don't like this life. I'm tired of this life. I'm gone." And his wife of many years left him. Crushed. Bereaved, devastated. Dr. Weigel thought, would I ever preach again? Would I ever be able to do anything for God again? Some time went by, and in his own words, one day he went and sat down at the piano. He was an accomplished pianist. He sat down at the piano, and as he sat down at the piano, he began to write this song. In 20 minutes' time, he wrote, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would love to tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me." Dr. Weigel wrote, "Nobody cared for me like Jesus." Hey, I got news for you. Hosea said, "I'm puzzled over this. Over the sorrows of backsliding. Why would anybody ever turn their back on God? Those that have tasted and seen how good God is. Those that have enjoyed the blessings of God. Those that have walked with God. Why would anybody turn their back on God?" Number two, Hosea was puzzled about the strange ways of God. God works in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. You don't always understand the ways of God. Hear me out, yes, everybody in here. Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways are my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." You can't figure God out, and there's no use in trying. God told Hosea to go down and not to find a beautiful young lady to marry, not to find the beauty pageant to marry. God didn't say go find the cheerleader to marry, but God said go down and find a harlot, a prostitute, one that has gone all the way down to the bottom of the ladder of sin. He said go and find her. That's the one I want you to marry. My friend, Hosea didn't understand that. You'll have some things in your life you'll never understand. Some things that don't make sense. Why a baby would die, I don't understand. Why you might lose your job and all the income you have, I don't understand. Why that you might get laid off. Why parents who would age can't take care of themselves. The troubles and the trials that you go through, good folks
good believing Christians, good people that never have hurt anybody, done anything wrong, why they suffer. I don't understand it all. I don't understand the ways of God sometimes. I don't understand why children suffer while little ones are plagued with disease and cancer. I don't understand. But I want to know one thing, God, His ways are not my ways. I don't have all the answers, but I know one day I will. One day I'll know in full as I shall be known. I know one thing, that God, in His infinite and divine mercy, God leads His dear children along, some through the fire, some through the flood, some through great sorrow, but all through the blood. I don't understand it. Do you think Joseph understood it? Why he sold of his brothers into slavery? Why he was cast into prison? Why they forsook him and forgot about him for 2 more years in prison? Why that he was lied about in Potiphar's house? Why? Do you think Joseph understood it all? No, sir. Do you think Job understood it all? Why he got smitten from head to toe with boils and sores? Why that all 10 of his children died at one time? Why that his wife turned on him and said, Job, you're a rotten mess. Won't you curse God and die? I believe my friend Job didn't understand it. Neither will you. You won't understand it all. But one thing is for sure, keep holding to that unseen hand. He'll never make a mistake. Third of all, the third thing that puzzled Hosea was the strange sin the people committed. Here, beloved, God has given us everything. The devil never gave me anything. You say amen right there. The devil never gave me anything but a hard time. And beloved, the devil has never done anything for me, but God has done all for me. He has met my need. The Bible said here about the Israelites, God fed them when they didn't have food to eat. God clothed them when they didn't have clothes to wear. God kept their shoes from wearing out. God took care of them in the wilderness. Listen, God is a good God. He's a great God. He has met all our needs. Hosea didn't understand it. He didn't understand it, why such a good God that people would turn their back on Him. I could understand it, Sister Gail, if God was mean, if He was some tyrant, and if he held a lash over us and made us to do those things. But God loves us, and God's been good to His people. God's give you everything you got, everything that's good and righteous and holy. God gave it to you. Oh, listen, my friend, and Hosea didn't understand why the people of God would turn their back on Him. Notice something here about Hosea. The Bible tells me here, he said, why would anyone turn their back on the Lord that's been everything? He's given me everything. He's been my helper when I needed help. He's been my shield when I needed protection. He's been my guide when I didn't know which way to turn. He's been my friend when others have turned against me and put the knife in my back. Hey, God has been good. How could the people of God ever turn their back on? A lot of people think sin will bring them happiness. The sinner has no peace of God. He has no peace in this world. Fourth of all, the fourth thing that puzzled was the sobbing of the man of God. You'd see Hosea walk down the street, and he'd walk down the street with tears in his eyes. I believe he walked down the street and the tears would course down his face. I believe he'd walk down the street and they'd say, here comes that old crying preacher again. And I believe Hosea had woke down with a broken heart. He'd weep and he'd cry. He'd go home at night time. Two little boys, a little girl, would come to him. They'd say, Daddy, can you tell me, when's Mama coming home? I believe when he knelt down with them to say their bedtime prayers and read them a story, there's little children would look at him in the face and they'd say, Daddy, have you heard from Mama? Have you heard? When is she coming home, Daddy? We miss her, Daddy. Where is Mama? And I believe he'd cry. I believe his tears would run down his face. I believe he'd go to bed at night weeping and wet his pillow with his tears. He's crying of a broken heart. Beloved, I believe this. I believe here we and people of God, we need to have some tears. I believe things ought to break our heart. Hey, listen, we look around and we see the sin of our country. I believe it ought to break our hearts. Say amen.
I know things aren't good. And I know, listen, I'm not pleased with things in Washington. But honey, I am one thing that I am for sure. We live in the best country there is on the face of this earth. If you don't like it, then honey, pack up. I'll help buy a ticket to China if you want to go. Listen, but we live in the best country, in the best nation. I don't love everything that's happening. But we out of a broken heart. Get on this altar and say, oh God, heal our country. We all have a broken heart. There's a trailer park right yonder. There's some little kids over yonder that I'll break our heart and say, hey, we're right here in their back door. We'll go over yonder and invite them to church and rent a bus over yonder and say, hey, little children, y'all come over here to this church. There's a Bible preaching church. Hey, I've been over yonder. I've walked in some of them trailers. I've seen they've got them statues of Mary. They've got them things set up to the Catholic. Hey, they're going to die and go to hell. Wouldn't it, God? We'd have some folks say, oh, God, break my heart. Break my heart. Oh, God, help me to have the tears. Help me have a broken heart. And it puzzled Hosea about the sobbing. But then last of all, here's what puzzled Hosea. And I finish with this. He was puzzled about the sweet forgiveness. After all that Gomer had done, after all that she had broke his heart, after all she had broke his family's heart, he still loved her. And now here's what I believe. If you'll turn over, look in chapter number 3 of the book of Hosea real quickly. Time's going. I'll summarize it for you. Hey, Gomer, she'd gone so far down into sin. She'd gone so far away from God that she was now in the line of prostitutes to be auctioned off. Women of the street sold their bodies. And I can see that auctioneer as he walked by that day. He'd walk up into the face of this one. He'd look her over. He'd say, what's your name? Maybe it was Rachel. He said, you'll bring me a fair price today, Rachel. Why, you're good looking. You're a pretty woman. There'll be somebody to pay good money for you. He walked by the next one. What's your name? Sarah. Sarah, you're a strong looking woman. Somebody will pay good money for you. Somebody will fill my coffers full today because of you. But then he'd walk up. Here was this woman, hair matted, dirty, halfway naked, clutching her rags. He'd walk up to her and say, what's your name? My name's Gomer. Gomer? Nobody even buy you today. Why, you're not worth a plug nickel. You don't have any beauty about you. You're ugly. You're dirty. Nobody even wants you. And I believe the auction started. And I believe he brought that first woman up and the bidding went high. Sold! And she was led away. And that second woman came up and hollered out, she's sold. But then Gomer was brought. Now I believe that auctioneer thought himself, my time's more valuable than this. But he said, I'll start the bidding anyway. Who'll give me a shekel of silver? And all of a sudden, in the back of the crowd, there went a hand up. And there was a hand. He said, yes, sir. Nobody else is bidding. What will you give for her? She's dirty. She's naked. She's worthless. Her hair is matted. She's ugly. What would you give for her? Listen, look. And look here. In chapter number 3, in verse number 2. And so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a half a homer of barley and a half a homer of barley. Now that's significant. The 15 pieces of silver was the price of a slave. The price of a slave. And the Omer and a half was the price that they would give for a worthless animal. They would give for just cow feed. Yes, sir. How much? I'll give 15 pieces of silver and over and a half of barley. That was according to the book of Exodus that he had to do that. Sold! I believe this is what he did. I believe he come. Here she was. He took his coat, wrapped it around her, and she looked at him in the face. Hosea, where are we going? We're going home, honey. We're going home where you belong. I'm going to take you back to our children. My friend, I stood on the auction block one day. One day I stood condemned, undone. Nobody, the devil didn't want me. The demons didn't want me. But there was a hand that went up in the back of the crowd, a nail-pierced hand, a hand of blood, and said, I'll buy him. And the Lord Jesus purchased me with his own blood. And then he wrapped me in his righteousness. I looked at his face and I said, where are we headed? He said, I'm going to take you to my house, and forever and ever and ever you'll be mine. And Gomer went home that day a new creature in Christ. You may have broken the heart of God today. Your life may have broken the heart of God today. Regardless how far you have gone. And by the way, you don't have to be an adulterer, a murderer, a whoremonger. You don't have to be all out in sin to break the heart of God. You know where most people backslide? Sitting in the house of God. Our hearts grow cold. We're not as close to the Lord as we used to be. Church don't mean as much as it used to be. We can take it or leave it, come and go. We're just in and out. Listen, God says, I would that you'd be hot or cold and not lukewarm. Hey, this morning, instead of breaking the heart of God, would you, as he said in Hosea 14:4, I'll heal you of your backsliding. Maybe you might say, preacher, I've broken God's heart. I've wandered far away from him, but now I'm coming home. Maybe you say, preacher, I've got a broken heart this morning. Maybe I've got a child. Maybe I've got a loved one that's breaking my heart. Maybe it's a brother or a sister that's just breaking my heart. And you say, oh, I need to get on this altar. I see now I'm breaking God's heart. Oh, maybe you might say, oh, I need a broken heart. I need to weep for the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Sister Joanne, would you pray, Lord, I'm coming home. A broken heart. He said that God is nigh unto them that are of a broken and a contrite, broken heart and a contrite spirit. Is your life what it ought to be for Christ? Huh? Don't try to fool me. You're not impressing nobody. God knows you. God knows you better than I know you. God knows you better than your family knows you. Maybe your heart's not right with God. When's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you poured out your heart toward God? When's the last time you had sweet fellowship with the divine Holy Spirit of God? Hey, you might say this morning, oh, my soul has been pricked. My heart has been stirred. God, I know now I've broken your heart. As I said, you don't have to be all out in sin. And by the way, you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. Thank God there's mercy and forgiveness for those that cry out to the Lord.